blessings. There are so many that none is able to count. He also forgives the servants. He turns toward them clemently. He covers their shortcomings. And he doesn't stop there. He also grants them success. He guides them to the right path. And he takes care of them by averting evil and calamities from them. All these are the signs of his love towards his servants. So this love towards the servants, which we counted so many of the signs of this love, originates from himself. Now, this was one kind of sign. Among the signs of Almighty Allah's love for his servants is that he loves them and blesses them with his love.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
There is a strange point in here, because it is Allah who is the bestower of love, and it is He who receives love from His servants. He endows them with attraction, and after that, He draws them towards Himself with that kind of attraction that He has created. Now, there are frequent indications to this concept in some of the Islamic narrations, supplications, and traditions. In the whispered prayer of Arifin, or the Knowers, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, O Allah, make us among those within the gardens of whose breasts the trees of yearning for you have taken firm root, the assemblies of whose hearts have been seized by the ardor of your love. We have already explained this phrase earlier, and we did actually extract so many important points regarding supplication and dua from this part. Based on this phrase, the Almighty Allah is the one who makes the heart of the servant a place for his love to take firm root, and thereafter it is the servant who is coming towards the Almighty Allah by the love of the Almighty Allah that he feels within his heart. We have also some other indications to this concept in Islamic narrations that we will inshallah continue to talk about in the next program. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Tell about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 24th, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast, or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. Dear listeners, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to you, dear listeners, throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will normally be receiving a QSL card from us. However, as you know, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus, don't expect a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until we get back on track and until the disease is controlled around the world. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including P.S. Sukar from India, Jacques Agustin from France, and Assis Hernando from Spain. P.S. Sukar, Jacques, and Assis Hernando. Here, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Also, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. Hector is one of our regular listeners. Thank you, Hector. Also, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan. Also, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And also, we have another email from Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Thanks a lot. A million thanks to you. We want you to know again how much we value these emails and letters and also your views. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back after the music with all these kind messages just in seconds. Again, welcome to the program. Here we have an email from Chile. This email is from Hector Friajofre. Hector, one of our regular listeners, says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, please accept my greetings from the city of Santiago, Chile. Regarding listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am always attentive. But the bad propagation has not allowed me to have the opportunity to tune in to your radio regularly. However, I do hope that the technical problem will be solved very soon. I will be able to listen to your programs and appreciate the traditional music and interesting programs. Best regards from Santiago. Salam and greetings to you from Iran, Hector Friajofre from Chile. I do express my appreciation for writing to IRIB English Radio, dear listener Hector Friajofre from Chile. We are so glad that you enjoy our programs. Regarding your notification about having the problem, as you may know, we have a website at that is parstoday.com/en. If you had someday in the future you had a problem with listening to our programs regularly, you can refer to our website, that is www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the archive of our programs there. Anyway, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon. We are waiting for your views about our broadcast. And from Japan, we have an email from Masahiro Kobayashi. Masahiro Kobayashi is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear sir or madam, my name is Masahiro Kobayashi and I live in Japan. I heard one of your stations some time ago and sent the reception report, but the mail was rejected. I'm not sure where to mail it, so I'm sending it to you via post. I will be pleased if this report is verified. Sincerely yours." Greetings to you, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Regarding your confusion about sending your mails, actually your emails, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the needed information about the email address or other addresses of our radio. Of course, I will refer to my colleagues about this problem, I mean rejection of your email, but anyway, for the time being, you can refer to our website and there you can find the information about the exact email address. Thank you again, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan, for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future, Masahiro. Dear listeners, what about a short break?
Thank you.
Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Ivan Zeleny, one of our regular listeners. Ivan Zeleny says, thank you very much for your email. In our city, real winter has already come. The air temperature at night drops significantly. The good news is the transmission of radio signals in the short and medium waves is getting better every day, and the broadcasting of the Islamic Republic of Iran sounds even louder and cleaner. I'm glad to know that your radio station is listened to in many countries of the world, and not only by Muslims, but also by representatives of other faiths and cultures. And many people, including myself, really like to learn about traditions, crafts, life, architecture, sites, poetry, and cultural events in Iran. I'd like to listen to more cultural programs and also political programs, more Iranian folk music and poetry, as well as information for tourists. And more people will be able to visit Iran and see everything with their own eyes, rather than learning about it from propaganda hostile radio and television programs from those who do not respect the culture of the traditions of Iran. The cinema of Iran is also very interesting because there are films with a very deep meaning and about the life situations of any person who lives not only in Iran but all around the world. I have watched several Iranian films directed by Abbas Kiarostami in particular. Therefore, if possible, tell in your programs about the latest in the film industry of Iran. It's very good if you can send electronic QSL cards, because often due to different problems such as coronavirus pandemic, letters practically do not reach your regular radio listeners. Therefore, the idea of sending EQSL is just great and less financially costly and faster. I wish all IRIB employees all the best and success and quality programs. Salam and greetings to you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia. This greeting is from IRIB English Radio and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many thanks for writing such interesting email to IRIB English Radio. Of course, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, we want you to know that we very much value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. This was such a nice and interesting and really inspiring message. As I have, realized that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, you like Iranian folk music and poetry, and it seems that you enjoyed the kind of programs in IRIB English Radio that is about the culture and traditions of Iran. Of course, we have different programs about the culture and traditions of Iran, including Close Up Iran. We have Iranian markets and different kinds of programs that are available now in the in the archive of our programs, and some of them are broadcasting in different days of the week. As I said, like the Iranian market, like the Close Up Iran, and different kinds of programs. As you said, of course, thanks God, it seems that you're enjoying better service. I mean, the signals, as you said, the transmission of radio signals in short and medium waves are getting better every day, and the broadcasting of IRIB English Radio sounds even louder and cleaner, and it's great. And also, it's a pleasure, as you said, we have different listeners around the world, in many countries of the world, and not only by Muslim countries. We have different listeners around the world, in different faiths and cultures around the world, and it's a pleasure for us in IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you enjoy the Iranian cinema. We have broadcast series about Iranian films and cinema, and And in the future, of course, we will broadcast programs about the Iranian films and Iranian cinema in the future, soon in the future, of course. And nice suggestion, sending electronic QSL card. Thank you. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, it was such a nice message. Thanks a lot. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, we wish you all the best. Write to us soon. Thank you. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. It was such a nice and beautiful piece of Iranian folk music. And here we have an email from Portugal. This email is from Paulo Duarte. Paulo Duarte says, thank you for your reply. I'd like to receive QSL cards from your radio stations, but unfortunately, I don't listen shortwave radios anymore, and the only I access your broadcasts through internet. And of course, I listen to your radio via your website, and I have to say that your website condition is very good. I just don't know about your program's schedule. Could you please send me a copy of that, please? First of all, greetings to you, Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Thanks a lot for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. I don't know why you don't have the access to listen to shortwave radios, but I hope in the near future, you can gain access to listening to shortwave radios. And of course, IRIB English Radio Shortwave. That's great. For the time being, you have access to our website. Yes. And about your trouble and your confusion about having access to programs schedule, I inform you here that you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/EN, and then you can get the program's schedule there. Thanks a lot for writing to IRIB English Radio, Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the other part of our program, that is today's interview. This interview is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
My name is Chris Jensen. I'm living in Belgium. I'm Belgian. I'm working as a civil servant for the government here in Belgium, but I also travel a lot because traveling is my passion, and especially traveling to the Middle East. I've been visiting many countries in the Middle East, and I visited also Iran, which was a very, very nice experience. I'm listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, so Tehran Radio, and several mediums. I'm listening to it on shortwave, but also on the internet and on satellite. And I think that's the future, because a lot of people think that shortwave is an old technology, which is dying at the moment. But I don't believe this. I think if you want to reach the world, you have to use a media mix. So it's not if, but and. So I listen on different medium to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So to my opinion, shortwave is still alive, and it's not a dead medium. I think it has still a bright future in it. Yes, I want to send my greetings to everyone, and I call upon them to, if they can, visit Iran yourselves, because as I said before, there are many misconceptions about Iran here in the Western world, and my experience last year was a wonderful experience. I experienced Iran as a very friendly country with friendly people. It's a very modern country with good infrastructure, and everywhere where I came, people were open to me, people tried to help me. So I'm calling upon the listeners, please visit the country yourself. It's the best way to get an idea about Iran and to learn about the country. ¶¶
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar. This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, on ethics and politics. Human beings should endeavor to lessen their egoism and selfishness if they are unable to put an end to it. This is, of course, a very difficult task and it needs a great deal of hard work and self-purification. But this is not an impossible task. It is difficult but possible. September 11th, 1980.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. This is your host Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. We were talking about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the prophets of God. According to Imam Khomeini, he said that the prophets from the first up to the last made every effort to invite this creature to the straight path and make him treat it. Basically, Imam Khomeini is telling the cause and the duties of the prophets. And he mentions that from the first till the last, means from the Adam alayhi salam till the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the effort which was put by all these prophets were to invite this creature, this man, this human being to the straight path. And that was their duty. So they call us all towards the straight path. Why is it necessary? It's because A human being, a man, obviously he has different potentials. When he comes to the society, when he goes to the society, he follows different things. And therefore, the prophets are there to show us the straight path. Basically, they have done this journey of straight path. They have reached to the destination, and now they came to guide us. They came to tell us how you can also reach to the perfection. How you can reach to the perfection by following the straight path. In the very first chapter of the Quran, we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide us towards the straight path. Straight path. Because when we say الصِّرَاط, صِرَاط means straight path. مُسْتَقِيم also means straight. So we are emphasizing when we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are praying to God, we are basically emphasizing on the straight path, that guide us to the path that is straight.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
So we ask this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we all are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He do not guide us towards the straight path, then we might go astray. Then we might go astray. And obviously, if we go astray, then there is no, we can say, reward for us in hereafter. There might be a punishment waiting for us. And it is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even when He said that I'm creating you, I have sent this book for you, He sent these prophets from the first till the last. And what is the duty of these prophets? The duty of these prophets were to invite this creature to the straight path, towards the straight path. And they were guiding us all the time. He named them, he called them in the Quran as Mundir, the warner. He called them as the Mubashir, the one who gives the glad tidings. Why he said so? It's because that if you follow them, if you want to follow the straight path, there are the glad tidings, there are the rewards waiting for you. And he did not left us alone. He sent all these prophets for our guidance. May Allah give us tawfiq to follow the teachings of the prophet so that we start our journey towards the straight path, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Canaan Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. And our discussion, as you know, in these series of shows, we are trying to discuss some questions that I received by different questions from around the world in Islamic realms and Islamic sciences. And I guess the speakers from Qom Seminary Schools are invited here to help us with the answers. As for today, Sheikh Murtada Karmi is with us to help us to answer the questions. The question of the day, Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam and thank you for having me.
Thanks for accepting the invitation. The question of the day is about the obligation in accepting the religion. Shaykhuna, it is the exact verse of the Holy Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La ikraha fid din. That is, there is no force in accepting the religion. But on the other hand, Allah says, Inna din inda Allah al-Islam. The religion with God is only Islam. And anyone who rejects Islam as a religion, he will be known as polytheist or infidel. So if there is a free will in selecting the religion, so how can we actually solve these contradictions? And on the other hand, if a person gets out of the Islam as a religion, he will be known as murtad, and he will be known as apostate, and his life is in danger from Islamic perspective. How can we, Sheikh, actually digest all these different contradictory angles of this issue and question?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very interesting discussion and topic, because many people who do not know anything about Quran, at least they have memorized this part of the Quran, that La ikraha fid din, and they use it a lot in their discussions, whether Muslims or non-Muslims who are anti-Islam, they use it a lot. But the problem is that they have not recited at least the following and the rest of this very verse, in chapter Baqarah, verse 256. Now, to begin the discussion, I think it's good to give you an example. Imagine that there is a coach for a football team, for a soccer team, and there are 30 people. They want to be in the main team. They want to be chosen by this coach in the final team to take part in a competition, for example. Now, if the coach says that you are free to act upon my instructions or not, he has given them some instruction to improve themselves in soccer. You are free to act upon it, but finally I will choose for my team those who will act upon it. Is there any contradiction here?
No.
So only those people who act upon his instructions, they will be chosen by this coach, and the rest will be rejected because they did not act upon it.
The rest are going to be rejected, not to be killed.
That was only an example to tell you that to have free will, this is my point, to give through this example, I want to say that when you go to those people who rejected the instruction of the coach, and can they say that the coach himself told us that you are free not to act upon my instructions, why he didn't choose us for the team? So they do not have this excuse, because the coach said that if you act upon it, then you will be in my team. Now, we come to the Quran. First of all, let's see what Quran is talking about in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter Baqarah, verse 256, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There is no force or coercion in the religion. الصفات قد تبين الرشد من الغي. The true way has been manifested and is crystal clear for the people. People are able to realize the true path and the wrong path. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Imagine that example that I mentioned. Allah says that there is no force upon you to accept this religion, but I have shown you that which way is the true way and which way is the deviated way. And finally, those who disbelieve in Taghut and those who believe in me, in Allah, they will be saved. Allahu Sami'un Alim. So this is my first point.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. We should not take into consideration only these four words, La Ikraha fi Din, and forget about the rest of the verse, which is telling us that, oh people, I have shown you the true way.
Yeah.
And only those people who follow this true way, they will be saved. Like the coach, I have given you the instructions. So those people who reject the instructions of the coach are not justified. I mean, they cannot say that, oh coach, why you didn't choose us? Because you rejected my instructions. We come to the religion. Oh Allah, why we are not saved? Because you didn't act upon my instruction to follow the true path. You said, La ikraha fi din. Yes, as God, I told you, because I'm not going to force anyone to accept the religion of Islam. But I added that only those who follow this religion, they will be saved. This is the first answer to this question.
Okay, Sheikh. Then, in case there is a farewell and the person did not act upon the instructions of the God, so why should he been? What should he be introduced as apostate at the end of the day?
First of all, we should distinguish between people who do not believe in Islam at all, and those people who are Muslim, and then they become
definitely
apostate.
There is a difference. No,
there
way.
Is a difference.
Okay.
So I mean, the answer to the question would be also different. According to the religion of Islam, those people who are not Muslim, they might be Christians, Jews, the followers of one divine religion, or they might be atheists, and so on and so forth. At least we have two categories of such people. Those people who search for the truth, and those people who do not do nothing to reach the truth. I think nowadays, all people know that there are different religions.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people think about their final salvation. So as a human being, when you hear that there are different ways to reach salvation, yeah, it is a duty for you to look for the best way. I think, the intellect, everyone's intellect accepts that when you hear that there are different ways to reach a salvation, you need to search about the best way.
True.
So the first point is that those people who do not search for the truth, try hard and work hard to the extent of their capacities and capabilities and understanding, those people who do not try to find the truth, they are not justified before God. Because yeah, although they did not believe in, for example, the religion of Islam or any other divine religion, but their intellect asks them that when you know that you need salvation at the end of the day, and there are different ways to reach salvation, you need to search for the truth. According to the religion of Islam, if people do not try to find the truth, they have no excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one category.
Yeah.
Then we have those people who try their best to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Here again we have two categories. So according to us, we believe that the religion of Islam is the true path.
Yeah.
Those people who try and find Islam to be the true path, according to Islam, they will be saved, of course, with amal salih, inshallah, with righteous actions. But what about people who really try hard to find the truth, and they do not find the truth to be the religion of Islam? They come to this conclusion that Christianity is the true path, or Judaism, or even Hinduism, Buddhism. I'm saying that, I mean, we suppose that whether it is possible or not, some people might say that if they really search for the truth, they will come to the religion of Islam. But I think that we may think of some people who, at the end of the day, because of different problems, the region that they, believe their level of under the region that they live, where they live, the way that they are trained by their parents, the society, the communities that they live, the media that they watch, for different reasons and their level of understanding, we can think of some people who try to find the truth and they do not come to this conclusion that Islam is the true path. According to the religion of Islam, these people are excused before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So although they are not following the true path, Allah says that these people are mustadhaf. These are weak people, meaning that they try hard to find the truth, but they were not strong enough to find it to be the religion of Islam. But they acted upon their duties.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if there is a Christian, he has done all his best to find the true way, and he comes to this conclusion.
He had a general piety in the religion that he was following.
Yeah, that's true. Because many instructions are the same in all the religions when it comes to morality. Many laws. All the religions, they say that you should not harm other people. You should not violate the rights of other people. You should not kill other people. So this is the first category. This is mentioned in the Quran in chapter An-Nisa that we have people called mustad'af, and according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people are excused because of the fact that they have tried their best to find the truth, but they did not come to the true conclusion.
So they are excused.
They are excused.
It's quite clear.
Now we come to the people who are Muslim, and then they leave this religion for another.
Mm-hmm. And this is one aspect of it. And those who are even the followers of other religions, and they leave those religions and convert to another religion. This is the story that we need to discuss it, I think, in our upcoming session, because we are almost over with the time that we have today, Sheikh. Thank you very much for answering the questions. And your respected listeners for staying tuned and listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs. Hopefully we'll be able to inshallah answer the rest of the rest of these questions that were posed in this show in our upcoming sessions, and you will join us then, inshallah. Till our next session, I live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. إن في الجنة نهرا لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا لبن إن في الجنة نهرا لبن علي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لنا شنيحا
Ten minutes.
For a country like Saudi Arabia, with an abysmal record on human rights, the last thing the world might wish is nuclear capability. However, whistleblowers have already raised the alarm about the kingdom's clandestine nuclear program. In one of its latest reports, the Wall Street Journal has uncovered a facility constructed in a remote area in Saudi Arabia for extracting uranium yellow cake from uranium ore. While the name might tickle fancy, yellow cake itself is the crucial component for both nuclear power reactors and atomic bombs, and it's the latter that has created a cause for concern as Riyadh, under the de facto leadership of Mohammed bin Salman, might take the wildest of courses for handling even issues as simple as treating a mild critic like Jamal Khashoggi. According to the Wall Street Journal, Western officials are now anxious about an unusual facility located near Al Ula, a small city in the Saudi Northwest Desert, near a solar panel production area. Experts interviewed by the journal believe the facility to be one of the undeclared nuclear sites in the kingdom, with the capacity to produce uranium yellow cake.
I think it should concern everyone if Saudi Arabia plans to or has already started extracting uranium yellow cake. Saudi Arabia is run by a genocidal regime that kills and oppresses people both at home and abroad.
Frank Papillon, a former satellite image analyst at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico, recently spotted a desert site that confirms the journal account. The site has a checkpoint, towering security fences, and a big building about 150 feet on a side, and pools for the collection of uranium waste, a typical blueprint for yellow cake mills. To David Albright, the president of the Institute for Science and International Security, the facility is suspicious given its relative isolation in the Saudi desert and its long access route.
This is a big deal because they're doing this all behind closed doors. And if you only want nuclear energy, then why all of the secrecy? Iran has said time and time again, come inspect our nuclear energy facilities where our doors are open. And here you have the Saudis not talking about it, openly saying we want to build a bomb. Not sharing any details on this very clear nuclear project that's going on behind closed doors. We only really know about it from drone footage, information leaks, and MBS openly stating his desire to build the bomb. So it's definitely clear that there are nefarious purposes, and we shouldn't trust them with nuclear energy even.
Whereas such underground activities have raised deep concerns, the White House seems not only unperturbed, but also quite content. In May 2019, a U.S. congressional committee issued a report according to which the Trump administration was allowing American companies to offer Saudi Arabia nuclear technologies without getting non-proliferation guarantees. After all, Saudi Arabia has a limited safeguards agreement with the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, that does not allow its inspectors to visit whenever they like. For that level of access, a country signs an additional protocol with the agency. But neither Saudi Arabia nor Israel has signed onto the IAEA's additional protocols, which safeguards against the proliferation of nuclear weapons.
So first, I I would like to say here that everyone should be very suspicious of the U.S. media's effort to promote the idea that China is the one responsible for helping Saudi Arabia develop its nuclear facilities. The U.S. media is on an anti-China tirade right now. And last year, the Trump regime approved the sale of nuclear technology and equipment to Riyadh, which they're using to construct at least two reactors. There are also reports over the past 2 years or so that Israel is contributing to the Saudi nuclear project. And we should all question this and bring it to light, because it would make perfect sense for the United States and Israel to help Saudi Arabia develop nuclear weapons and then kind of blame it on China, who could very well be considering helping them develop nuclear energy.
Apparently, the Israeli regime's policy of nuclear opacity has set a poor example for the Saudis to follow. The regime is believed to possess 90 warheads, according to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. Satellite photos taken in March and May of this year show that the Saudis have put a roof over the reactor, all in the absence of IAEA monitoring. According to Robert Kelly, a former inspector for the Atomic Agency, the IAEA is unhappy with Saudi Arabia because they refuse to communicate about their existing program and where it is going.
The reason it would be a cause of concern is that generally the Saudis can't be trusted. As a Democratic congressman said, if you can't trust the Saudis with a bone saw, how can you trust them with, you know, something more dangerous, like a hydrogen bomb, you know?
The fact is, Riyadh has spent years developing its nuclear program with great interest in acquiring skills like uranium exploration, nuclear engineering, and even ballistic missile manufacturing. In the words of Thomas M. Countryman, the Saudis see a value in having a latent capability to produce their own fuel and perhaps their own weapons.
You remember, the Saudis have already attacked the United States over the Twin Towers. The Saudis brought down the Twin Towers, or at least the official report says so. And most of the people on aircraft that attacked the Twin Towers were Saudi. Now, that could not have been done without the foreknowledge of the Saudi government. If they can behave like that to an ally, you know, kill 3,000 people in New York City, what can they do to their perceived enemies?
In 2019, the IAEA released updates on the Saudi National Atomic Energy Project, detailing a Saudi plan for building reactors as well as fueling them through the localization of uranium production. According to the document, Riyadh was looking for uranium deposits in its own territory while collaborating with Jordan to make yellowcake. Last but not least, back in the 1990s, the Saudis financed Pakistan's project to produce atomic bombs. It does not take a leap of imagination to see where another grave danger is lurking. In fact, as the red flags are being hoisted over the yellow cake drama, the Saudis may already have possessed the A-bomb without making it themselves.
جدا لجميع السعوديين.